Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 9th of January, 2020, episode 214, take two. I was flying through, breezing through my introduction, and then a car alarm went off outside, obviously not inside. I don't know if I needed to stress the outside. I struggle when it comes to anything to do with cars. In fact, for my freelance stuff, I actually joined some copywriting site, and the test they gave me was write up some copy for car insurance. And I thought, of all the things, of all the tests that I could be given, it had to be something on cars, and I've yet to do it. I don't know if I sign up again, whether I might get another test, hopefully worth considering anyway. And now I've lost my thread already. This is episode 214. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. And just in case I haven't already said, this is Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available Thursday, the 9th of January, 2020. This might be something that, the intro for this particular episode might be something that I listen back to in the future if I'm diagnosed with dementia, a classic example of how forgetful I am. People say as forgetful as a goldfish, which I think is actually a myth. I don't think goldfish are as forgetful as they're made out to be. I can't remember where I read that, but it was in the last 2 or 3 months. I remember that. 2020 sounds so final, doesn't it? Like we should be wearing spacesuits, and instead here I am indoors, of course, wearing unbranded tracksuit bottoms, and I'm down to 4 layers at the moment of indoor-only clothes, and I am troubled by the fact that we are now in the 2020s. I think maybe as we go through the 2020s, I'll be less unsettled. It's just 2020. It's such a There's such a finality about it, and you're thinking, have I really been on this planet for that long? And you just start doubting that you're going to be around forever. It's that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously I read a lot, as I have said often, and the work of great writers. And you think, once upon a time, they too were living and breathing. Their words have survived for centuries. But yet they too had a limited amount of time on this planet. It's It is something that bothers me. How can we have been around for such a short amount of time? I often think about, for example, where am I going with this? I just think about how long this planet has been going. You know, when you read about dinosaurs, when you read about how the Earth was when it was first, when it first came into being, whatever, the Big Bang. You know, everything was one big landmass, and you read about it being hundreds of millions of years ago, or even billions of years ago. I don't know. And you think, how is that possible? How could something have been going around for so long, have existed for so long, and yet I've only been around for such a small amount of time? But it feels long, and yet, in fact, I've lived most of my life. Anyway, that's not going anywhere. Lead is, what is that? Lead is lettuce. There's no getting away from that. I'm not sure if I'll be able to edit that out. I think what it is, I am rattled this morning. I've been troubled by a couple of very strange dreams the last couple of nights. Not that mystery shop that tends to move between Loughborough Junction and Waterloo in South London. In fact, the last couple of nights, I've been troubled by dreams of having kids. 2 nights ago, it was a dream of actually being with someone, no one in particular, a faceless woman, and she was giving birth to my child. I thought, that's odd. Why am I having that kind of dream? And my mum was in the dream, and you know, I was showing off the kid to my mum. I think that's one of the big things that I felt when I lost my parents, that I wouldn't have that moment, that if I had kids, I wouldn't be able to show them off to my parents. And I think that is a big thing for people. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a thing that I wanted. It would have been a massive thing if I'd had kids, to be able to show them off to my parents, to have proper active grandparents on my side playing a role in the kids' life. So that was the first dream. Last night's dream was far more troubling, and it may explain the erratic opening on episode 214. And basically, in this dream, I was actually giving birth, and I wasn't a woman. in this dream. So the dream had factored the fact that I was a man into the dream, and I'd had some tubes pushed up me. I think this might have been triggered by this paranormal podcast episode that I heard on, in which a serial alien, you're going to have to forgive me here, abductee, a serial alien abductee was talking about being probed by aliens. So I think that triggered the dream. And I was initially in a hospital, and I was pushing, but nothing was coming through. And then I was transferred to a London tube station where I had to give birth on a packed platform, naked. And I think one of the nurses was covering my modesty with a large bit of cardboard. And I'm just thinking, why am I having these strange dreams? What's that all about? Anyway, moving on, going for an early record this morning. I was aiming for 1000 hours. It's 1030 something hours now, but that's not too bad. I've got quite a lot to do today, writing wise. It's a fairly warm if damp day here in South London. I'm five coffees into my day. I'm feeling a little slow. I took a couple of ibuprofen a couple of hours ago to tackle a headache, and it's not really paid off. I think I probably needed to go with a Nurofen, but I like to hold off on the Nurofen, but after this I think I'll need to take a couple. The coffees have warmed me up. I'm now wearing wearing four layers rather than the eight I normally begin my mornings with. Yesterday I wore the buff that Mickey got me for running. Wore it on my walk to my aunt's. I walk a lot and usually at a very quick pace, and I find that my scarf can irritate my neck. The neck was already sore from trimming the beard right down with clippers, so I wore the buff rather than the scarf. If you're someone who uses clippers for their beard as I do, partly because I just don't really enjoy wet shaving, and you know, the light in the bathroom isn't great. And I do think, I've said this before over the years, I do think that one of the driving factors behind the beard revival of the last decade is the fact that a lot of people don't have lights in their bathroom. So the lighting isn't great, so I just let the beard grow out, and then every now and then if it's getting scruffy, I'll just trim it. And of course, when you're trimming it with the clippers, the hair's flying everywhere. So I do a lot of prep in the sink, put a lot of tissues down, then clean everything up. But it is messy. And I'd irritated my neck because I take the blade off and I just use the blade underneath. So it can be quite sore on the neck. The buff helped that. I wasn't sweating with the wool around my neck, but it did give my neck a rather flamboyant look, which was at odds with the rest of my underwhelming outfit. So that's something that I was aware of. Obviously, I had the option of bringing back the flamboyant hood fur from my winter coat of 2016. I was walking around for two winters with the hood fur, finally realized that I could unclip it last year, winter of 2018. So I've unclipped it. The coat doesn't look right without the hood fur, but it's much easier to deal with. And maybe, given that I was wearing the buff, maybe I should have brought back the hood fur for that particular walk to my aunt's. The desk right now, it's an absolute state. I tweeted a picture this morning just before coming on air, whatever a podcast is, before I started recording, and the desk is a real mess. It's a square desk, so it's very difficult to work on a square desk. I don't have much space. And this year, even though I'm not busy, I'm running two diaries like I'm the world's busiest guy. And the reason for that is my sibling got me this very impressive large Murakami diary for 2020, obviously. And I started filling that up. I normally don't get my pocket-sized diary until a few weeks into January because, you know, I hope that the prices go down. I got it earlier than normal this year, so I've now got two diaries. So the first step was to copy all the entries from the Murakami diary into my new pocket-sized diary, and I'm now maintaining that. So given that I'm with four different libraries, I'm with Lambeth Libraries, I'm with Wandsworth Libraries, I'm with Southwark Libraries and Westminster Libraries. I'd like to join Merton Libraries, but obviously I don't like going to Merton, but they've got a very good library in Morden. I think that's the best thing about Morden. And so every now and then, in fact, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, I have to renew my library books. So I set myself reminders in my diaries. I'm also prone to, listing stuff in my notebooks, which does bother me because if I kind of make it big late in life, as I say quite often, I have notebooks going back to 1990, just perhaps a bit earlier than that. And as I've gotten older and become an adult, eventually, you know, the notebooks are also full of shopping lists and things that I need to do on particular days. In addition to the 2 diaries, I've got the lists, which, maybe an OCD, I suppose. And it's just strange. It's bizarre. I have no social life and I've given myself extra admin to do. I can't distinguish between the 2 diaries in terms of I don't want to choose. You know, I'm like Ron Greenwood with the England goalkeepers back in the day when he would, that's an Americanism there, apologies. He would play Ray Clements in one game, then he would pick Peter Shilton for the next game, and he didn't make a decision until the 1982 World Cup, at which point he finally went with Peter Shilton. That was after 5 years. I feel like I've got that kind of situation going on with the 2020 diaries this year. I'm just trying to make a note of times when I might see if I need to edit out a couple of mistakes. This has been a very erratic beginning this week, despite all the prep. It is a very packed podcast episode today. I can see that from my bullet points. And coming up on today's show, Nectar, the Nectar Points update this week, an explosion that recalls my 2013 to 2015 Nectar peak years. Several encounters with the urinating man of SW9, not to be confused, of course, with the still missing since 2013 urinating dwarf of SW8. Several meetings with the urinating man of SW9 to report this week, including one very extensive encounter which happened yesterday. I've got curious freelance ads that I've come across in my bid to carve out a freelance situation for myself to keep me away from the man. Come across many very strange many. I'm all over the place today. Bear with me. Curious freelance ads. Let's keep it simple. I'll be bringing you some of those both in the regular segment of the show and the Patreon edition of the show. And there's also a big hygiene fail to report. And Star Wars football, the season ended. I'll be bringing you all the details on that, plus a lot more. I think I'm going to go with some freelance ads first. Because I've got a trial membership now, and it may be that I have to pay for that membership going into a second month if I see that I'm making progress, and I will if it's going to help. But I'm reluctant to until I start making money from it. Coming across a lot of scammers, you know, who are breaking the very clear rules on this site, who are asking for money up front and deposits. And I'm spending so much time dealing with that. And it's frustrating, you know, because I really hope that I can make it work for me. It would be good to have a bit of money on the side and that all my work could be writing related, even if it's not the kind of writing that I want to do. So the first freelance ad I came across that I thought is a bit odd. The advert begins, audio editor, and this is a really strange one. This project is trying to save my relationship, so I have to prove a point about what I was actually talking about. The 73-ish minute videos are recording off of my security camera. There's a lot of background noise and you can barely hear me speaking. I was looking for someone that can bring forward my actual conversation and reduce the background noise for a clear audio. Attached is an audio clip from the video. I didn't download the attachment. I didn't want to play that back. From that, I got the impression this is someone who might be too intense about their relationship. And, you know, can a relationship survive whatever this guy is trying to do? I'm assuming it's a guy. I think this is the kind of thing a guy would do. He comes across as just too intense about the relationship. Cut your losses, move on. You know, you can't be relying on a security camera. You can't be relying on the footage to salvage your relationship. How has your relationship got to that point where you're going to be relying on CCTV footage, and then you want to place an ad to get someone to do this particular work for you? That in itself is a professional relationship, and yet the work that you want them to do is to save what is clearly a very important thing in your personal life. That's just very, very strange. Let's move on to a second ad. Editor needed to proofread and occasionally give opinions on erotica stories. I have dozens of stories written every month and need to hand off some to be edited by someone else. Please start any response to me by telling me your favourite vegetable. That's the kind of thing I'm dealing with every day at the moment. Hopefully I've recovered some poise now after this very shaky opening to this week's show. On my to-do list still is a new hat. I think I might have mentioned last week or the week before. I've got two hats at the moment, one outdoors, one indoors. They're both identical hats. Both have been deformed by the bouffant. I think it's pointless getting a new hat until I get the haircut, which I'm hoping to do this month once once people, I suppose, have stopped feeling like they have to ask you how your Christmas and New Year was. I think, you know, tomorrow is the 10th of January. I'm assuming really that after the 10th of January, you don't need to be asking people how their Christmas was. You don't have to be giving them the New Year. We know it's the New Year. We are now in the 2020s. Let's deal with it. The problem, of course, with the bouffant is that for someone who doesn't really want to engage in small talk with barbers, I just want to go in there, relax, and give them very clear instructions. I'm not asking for anything major on the hair, but because the hair is long, they're never going to take enough off the top. That's not a strength of barbers. I've said that before. If you want your hair thinned out, you go to the hair salon. If you want a good short back and sides, you go to the barbers. That's the problem I've given myself here. The very warm and thick cream-coloured long johns, the M&S long johns that Mickey got me for Christmas, partly perhaps to push me towards the Blue Harbour range he himself has committed to for the last few years. The long johns have established themselves as my first choice outdoor long johns. Wear different long johns indoors. And when I'm wearing these long johns, I do feel like Mickey's walking with me. And they're so insulated that when I remove them, I get a lot of fluff coming out, a lot of white fluff, cream-coloured fluff. So it's like I walk into the bathroom and I see all this fluff on the floor, and it's as if I've come out of the loft, you know, and knocked some of the foam off the beams, and some of it has fallen down from the hatch when I've come down from the loft, which I haven't done since I found my Star Wars action figures back in the summer, which was a very important moment for me. I don't really do a lot of loft action. There's a bigger loft where I know that I've got some old Sabucho goals, which are the perfect Sabucho goals. They're very hard to find. When you whack a ball into those nets, the nets are good enough and deep enough to contain the shot. The ball doesn't bounce out. A lot of Star Wars football games since it returned in August have been very controversial. I've had to, you know, keep a good lookout. I've had to go a lot by my hearing as to whether that shot actually hit the back of the goal. That's not a very good way to run a Star Wars football league, but there are very tall ceilings in this flat. Certainly at the front of the flat, there's a very awkward ladder, which I don't quite know how to use to get up to the loft at the front of the flat, and I've never been able to pull it off. I can get up there, but I can't get into the loft because of the way the ladder is set up. It's one of those very long ladders. It's got two tiers to it, and the steps on the second tier are very, very thin. So every now and then I just keep a lookout on eBay and Sabutio specific sites for goals. But the goals that I need have not come on the market as yet, rather the old goals that I need. So that's the long johns covered. I've been trying to, you know, as I say, I feel a bit, I don't know if I feel stressed today. I just feel I do need to take some Nurofen. I know that. I've got this headache. I've got a backache. I'm pleased that I've been trying to tackle my swearing this week. I've been dropping the F. So instead of, you know, F in hell, I'm saying uck in hell. And that kind of works for me, though the F returned when I was in Sainsbury's about 2 or 3 days ago and I walked past a shelf as I was looking for the condiment I can no longer find. I walked past a shelf and I saw some pink Himalayan salt on the shelf and I just swore aloud in the shop. Who's buying pink Himalayan salt when, you know, the country is on its knees? I'm sure people are, obviously that's why it's on sale. But who thinks their life is going to be improved with some pink Himalayan salt? Sprouts update. The 15p bag of Sprouts I bought in Lidl before Christmas. I think that was mentioned in a Very Boydy Christmas, that episode. I bought them because, partly because they were 15p. Mainly because they were 15p and I do like a food shop bargain. And also because I did want to buy something that was associated with the Christmas dinner I wouldn't be having for the second Christmas in a row. And I dragged that out for 18 days, which I think is longer than 80% of my day jobs. I like Sprouts, but it's a hard veg to match up to my usual fare, which tends to be pasta, fish, baked potatoes. I did skip proper meals yesterday, actually. Not because I didn't have food, but just because I was lazy and I didn't want to cook. You know, I just don't enjoy the kitchen. And since I was last with you, I also had an organic banana that my sibling got me before they left the country again. And I do think my body went into shock after that organic banana. It was several levels up on what I'm used to. Speaking of body going into shock, last week was a bit strange. I'd had a smooth record and had finished early on the show, which is what I need to do so the show doesn't just consume my Thursdays. And then about 1500 hours last Thursday, I felt really unwell, and I continue to feel unwell for the next 7 to 8 hours, which is really worrying when you're living on your own. And I was thinking, what do I do here? I was breaking out into sweats. It was a very sharp nosedive. The following day I was okay, not well enough to run. My legs were really aching, but I didn't want to run on the Saturday again because it would be hanging over me all Saturday. And normally the thing that's hanging over me on the Saturdays is the housework. And I should have listened to my body because I did go out on the Friday afternoon for a run. So I think I was about 2 or 3 minutes short of my time. I changed my route a bit and it knocked my confidence. And I'm someone that relies heavily on their confidence. I think my confidence is fragile, basically, and that extends into physical activity. So when I get on a roll with the running, I feel very confident and my belief is strong. But after a bad run, even though, you know, 6-7 months ago, what is now a bad run would have been a magnificent run, I don't seem to give myself any sort of credit for that. And sometimes now I'm walking through the park and I'm looking over to my left where I run. And I think, oh, that is actually far. By my standards, that is really far. You know, I'm running a couple of miles sometimes, but I want to run further. You know, I want to run in a more comfortable way, but I really need to stop and say, well, actually, look, you know, at no point in your life would you have been able to run this before. Now as a middle-aged man, you're doing something that you never did as a younger man. So I need to try and find a way to appreciate that. Only running twice this week. Actually, a thing that complicated last Friday's run. I was, you know, gassed out. I'd finished earlier than I'd anticipated. And then I got circled by a dog called Cosmo. And Cosmo's owner was very slow to bring Cosmo to heel. She was having a joint. And I was speechless. I wasn't trying to bond with Cosmo. I didn't crouch down, looking to stroke it, looking to placate Cosmo. It was just a little dog. But if I wasn't, you know, taking the stuff I'm taking, I know that those situations with dogs would make me very anxious. I mean, you know, going back about 3-4 months when I was just doing circuits, when I was doing these laps like a robot in the park, that particular circuit always had lots of dog walkers on. The amount of times I got chased by dogs, and Normally, that would make me very anxious, but now it doesn't. But I know that I should be anxious because, you know, these things, some of the bigger dogs certainly might bite. Actually, some of the little dogs as well. The dog that really frightens me, even now, well, I'd say not frightens, but I've got a healthy respect for it that maybe is just slightly on the side of fear, is the English Bull Terrier. You know, those dogs with the black eye patch. I remember when I moved into the alleyway just behind the cafe in 2010, there was a kid there who had one of those dogs, and it was the fiercest dog I'd seen in decades. It reminded me of some of the angry dogs from my aunt's Angeltown estate when I was a kid. So Cosmo was eventually brought to heel by its owner, and I went home. I thought, God, that was a bad run. I looked at it on Strava and I thought, why didn't I wait until tomorrow when I might have been feeling better? And also because these, Minty Matt, our man with the Shataf in the Middle East, calls them, I'm running in the Stanley Matthews trainers, they offer no support, and the foot can get quite sore post-surgery. And so I had to go and see a podiatrist this week, and she looked at the foot and she said, "Who cuts your nails?" as if I was 80 years old. And I was thinking, that's a strange thing to say. Do I look like I need my nails to be cut for me? You know, I'm not 80 years old, you know. And she told me that the nails are too short. And this, for me, I've heard that before, but I just don't like long nails on my hands or on my feet, and particularly on your feet. You know, the chin has long toenails, and it just, it makes you look like a beast. But she said, your toenails need to be longer. So that's something I'm going to have to address. When I remove my shoes and socks when I'm, you know, seeing a podiatrist, because I've had to do this over the years a number of times, whether it's for a cortisone jab or surgery or whatever, since the old injury, I always try to keep my feet on my trainers until I'm given the option to stretch out the feet on, you know, that long settee that you have in these places. And I noticed that the podiatrist had some muck in her little fingernail on the left hand, which I thought was a bit of a poor visual. Don't want to see that. I am very anal. I will look at everything in extreme detail. And I just thought, that's odd. You know, you're doing a job where people are going to be seeing your hands all the time. You've got to sort that out. Let's go back to freelance life before I wrap up the regular section of the show. Author seeking passionate writing coach. Hey there, I'm a young adult writer seeking an editor stroke writing coach. I consider myself to be a great writer. I'm disciplined and know how to tell a compelling story. I could honestly get by without a writing coach, but I want a coach. For this reason, I know that in order to be the best in my field, I must get uncomfortable. I must always feel humbled and in a constant state of learning. Right now, I'm too complacent. I need to be challenged and reminded of why I'm doing this. I hope Mickey's listening to this. I think a lot of this would apply to him. I'm not looking for someone in regards to podcasting. I'm not looking for someone, continues the ad, who just wants to give me some notes and be encouraging. I get that enough from people. I want someone who will challenge me to grow, point out my weaknesses, and give me writing assignments even. Gone with the exclamation mark there, which is poor. I mean, only if that's what you're into. Haha, most of all, I want to work with someone who knows what it's like to be hungry for more, who shares the understanding that good enough simply isn't enough. Yeah, I might actually copy and paste this and send it to Mickey, because I think this could make him a better podcaster. I feel like someone who gets this will resonate with what I need in a coach and will be the best mentor for me. One of my least favorite words, the mentor thing. I remember first hearing that word in 96. In the wonderful Duke of Edinburgh pub on Ferndale Road in Brixton, which has the best beer garden I've ever seen. I think it's still open, the Duke of Edinburgh. I was with the Space Daddy, and just in front of us were another group. I think it was three guys. Two had just arrived, and one of them introduced the other to the guy that was waiting for them and introduced them as their mentor. And, I'll leave it there. Let's conclude this ad. I used to think I loved being comfortable, but turns out I don't. Another exclamation mark. It gets boring pretty fast. I look forward to meeting to you. There's an error there, punctuation error. Another exclamation mark and grammatical error there, which I'm just highlighting. That's not the kind of person I will be working with. And that's three exclamation marks there just to make it worse. Okay, so that is me wrapping up the regular section of the show. I've got plenty to talk about in this week's Patreon only section. And if you want to support the show, it is just $7 a month. That's about five English pounds, maybe 550 tops, depending on the exchange rate. And for that, you're getting full-length shows, 80 to 90 minutes every Thursday, rather than the 30 to 40-minute show that appears on every main podcast platform. You're getting access to the bonus content. You're getting access to the A to Z of Me and My Dad Live, the two-part special. You're getting basically a lot of stuff, and that is five English pounds, which is less than the price of two coffees over here. Possibly less than a pint of beer now, as I said in yesterday's promo video for episode 214. So if you want to support the show, a long-running indie show, if you don't just want to hear more true crime, if you're tired of podcasts that try to sell you mattresses that they claim they're sleeping on, this is the show to get behind. Support it at patreon.com/DRT available. I think it'll be the best £5 you're spending this year. And, you know, if you don't want to get behind it in that way, perhaps you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That is so important. A review, a rating and review, it increases the show's visibility in the iTunes store, which is important because it's a small audience and it's a great way and an easy way to reach more people and get more prominence in the iTunes store. And this show just does not get those reviews. If you use iTunes at all, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're called these days, Apple Podcasts, I think is what they're called, then that is such a big way to help this show. And please do share, retweet, whatever, any social media posts pertaining to the show. And that is, you know, that would be a big help to the show. Anyway, I hope that you guys go on to have a good week if you're not joining the Nine Darters and the Crouch and D'Artagnan in listening to the rest of the show. And it is time for you to get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this week I have been available.